it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast,
a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Epstein is stepping down. Epstein's been with the Cubs for 9 seasons. When he arrived, he oversaw a rebuild that culminated in the 2016 World
BFFT. Live from the home studios, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the Bald-Faced Truth.
I think you've had a rare opportunity as a listener of this show and a sports fan in this state to watch Peyton Pritchard grow up. Really. I mean, you probably heard the stories when he was in high school or middle school, or maybe you saw him play. State champions, Westland High School, won everywhere he's ever been, went to the University of Oregon, started in a Final Four game as a freshman. I was really disappointed to see his senior year cut short. Now he is on the cusp of becoming a professional. He will be picked in tomorrow's NBA draft. But before that, he's coming on this show. Welcome, Peyton Pritchard. How you doing?
Doing good. Thank you for having me.
Where are you, like, right now? Like, are you set the scene for us?
No, I'm back home now in Westland at my parents' place. I flew back Sunday night from Los Angeles, so I'll be here for tonight. And tomorrow night, and then I'll probably have to fly out and move to the new city on Thursday.
This is crazy. It's crazy times anyway with 2020, but how does it feel for you to, because you've probably been thinking about this moment since when, like sixth grade, or when did that start for you?
Probably before that, from a very young age. It was always a dream of mine. So, you know, it's finally here, and now I'll just be waiting to hear my name called and see where I'm going.
In the last few weeks, I started getting frustrated because I was like, I wanted to hear more about you. I wanted more buzz around you and more teams to be talking about you. And I'm starting to hear that, especially in the last 48 hours. I've seen one of the mock drafts that now has you in the first round. And how hard is it to not get caught up in all of that and just kind of stay focused on training, getting ready, doing the interviews that you need to do?
I mean, honestly, I don't look at the mock drafts. A lot of that, they don't even know what they're talking about. It doesn't even end up being true. So for most players, I think, especially myself, I try to stay away from that. For me, I just try to stay working hard and staying ready, especially for this year. Right after the draft, our season's going to be starting right away. So it's an opportunity to come in and compete with the best. And so I have to be ready. So that's what I've been looking forward to. And I'm not worried about the mock drafts and all that, because at the end of the day, it's the team's decisions and not somebody else that's just writing it.
Yeah, and all you need is one team to be a believer. I mean, I think it's all your life. You have just, I think you've worked your ass off and you've proven yourself. And I think people who have watched you know you're going to be successful wherever you go. Let's go back, though. Let's go back to, you know, the mornings that you got up at 5 o'clock in the morning before school and you were dribbling the heavy basketball. That story that I heard about you dribbling the ball so much, your hands were bleeding. How, you know, let's talk about that. How true is that story?
There's definitely some truth to it. It was a plan I set out to do. Obviously, ball handling is a skill I have to be able to change directions to get anywhere on the court. So, I mean, I contribute that success to the mornings in the garage with the heavy ball. In the hours of dribbling. I don't know if I've mastered dribbling yet, but I'm on the way to it and started with that. And my hands bleeding and all that just came from, you know, dribbling all the time with a really rugged weight ball. And obviously with Oregon being cold, it was cold in the morning. So just was kind of contributed to all that.
Your time at Oregon, you know, you wake up in a Final Four as a freshman, and you know, as a senior, you don't even get to finish the Pac-12 tournament, and it sort of had a sour taste because I felt like you guys were playing well and you were dangerous at the right time, as you always are, you seem to be at Oregon. How was that college experience for you as you look back?
Unbelievable. I mean, I went through different emotions. You know, every year was kind of different, and we had some slumps in there and some bad bumps, but we always finished strong, and I look back, and I'm very thankful for my 4 years, and I grew so much as a person and as a player. So I think through my 4 years at Oregon, it definitely helped me be the most ready coming into the NBA and as growing into an adult and as a player. So,
Peyton Pritchard, our guest, Westland High School, University of Oregon, and soon-to-be NBA player. The interviews, most of us will never get to be interviewed by a team that has a draft pick. Give us an idea of what the questions are like for regular folks that will never be in that position.
It's a business interview. It can be some weird questions and can catch you off guard, but for the most part, in my experience, interviews have been so easy for me. I definitely have nothing to hide. You know, everybody knows who I am. I'm a competitor, hardest worker. So a team definitely knows who I am. And I've gone to the place where I am because of my work ethic. So it was always real simple for me, and I actually enjoyed it.
You might say the interviews on this show when you were in high school prepared you for the NBA interviews. I mean, I think...
Exactly.
Weird questions here, too. What have you been binge-watching? Let's get away from basketball for a second. What's Peyton Pritchard watching that has nothing to do with basketball?
Oh, man. When I was in Los Angeles, I definitely watched a lot of different Netflix shows. I mean, I went through a lot of different stages. I went through, like, Narcos and all the... Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. And then I went through like Riverdale, and I don't know, through quarantine, I think I've watched over 11 different shows. So I've watched them all.
The, you know, the next step for you, it'll be a business, but I think you've been business-like all along. I don't know if it's going to be that big a transition for you. You talked about the short run-up to the season. You know, how ready do you have to be? What kind of advice are you getting? Who are you working out with that maybe can be a little bit of a mentor to you NBA-wise?
Well, I'll start with who I've been working out with. I mean, I was in Los Angeles, and I signed with Wasserman, which is an unbelievable agency. And we have obviously a lot of great clients. So when I was in Los Angeles, it was only NBA guys. And when we played, it'd only be NBA guys workout. So I got to compete with NBA guys every day. And so definitely made me more ready. And just to compete at that level is going to help us going into the season. What was the other questions again?
Well, just the idea that you've been business-like. And I know that, yeah, you know, your dad and you and the whole family, it's been sort of,
sure,
you know, basketball is a life,
yeah,
lifestyle for you guys. And I think it's really neat to look at your family, your sister, you know, with a college scholarship in basketball, and certainly Anthony Mathis, who's, you know, like a brother to you. And it's a really interesting family dynamic.
For sure. I mean, it definitely starts with my parents. I mean, both my parents played collegiate sports at Oklahoma. Dad played football. Mom was a gymnast. So they knew what it took with the work ethic, so they laid the foundation for us. And for me, I just kind of took that more and grew upon the work ethic side of things and my competitive nature. And it's definitely gotten to where I am today. And I know for me how I'm going to make it. I got to be business-like. I got to be the hardest worker. And that's how I'm going to make it in the league and make it far.
What motivates you?
Really just to be the best I can be. You know, I'm such a competitive person. I hate to lose anything. It bothers me deep inside, and so it doesn't even matter what it is. I hate losing, so I'll do whatever it takes, and I'll get better at whatever it is to beat somebody, and I like the thrill of beating people and being better than them.
Do you have a sense, and you don't have to tell us which teams, but do you have a sense from teams right now that the phone rings tomorrow that you wouldn't be surprised if it's one or two or three teams, or do you just have no idea?
No, we have a good sense. I mean, going into it, we know certain teams and stuff like that. And at the end of the day, you know, it's the NBA, and it's an opportunity to compete with the best. And so the opportunity to start this, and I'm very thankful.
I think it's really neat for people to have watched you one and then go to college here in this state. You know, I know that you originally had committed to Oklahoma. Looking back on that, are you glad that you played your college ball in this state?
Well, 100%. I think I know it worked out for me, and I had a lot of success and a lot of team success, a lot of big wins, championships. So, and I got to play in front of my family and friends at Oregon, and just it was an unbelievable experience. So I definitely know it was the right decision for me, and I think everybody else in the state enjoyed it as well.
You know, I know after your junior season you got some feedback. What feedback did you get, and how did you approach the senior season with that in mind?
You know, I think the biggest thing was being consistent. I think a lot of people knew I went through a bad slump and was not playing like myself in my junior year, and it probably hurt my team and while we were struggling. I look back at it, I'm actually thankful for that because it made me grow into of a like more professional approach to the game, and I really had to kind of double down on myself and become more routine-oriented. So that was the biggest thing I heard from teams, though. It was just wanting to see the player I finished my junior year, if I could do that whole season. So, and I think I showed that.
How hard has it been to get in a gym with some of the restrictions that go on and masks and, you know, a lot of teams that are counties and cities that feel like, you know, they're limiting where people can gather? Has it been a challenge to get in a gym, or are you able to find places?
I've been able to work around it. I've actually been able to stick to the regular schedule of things and get all my work in and still spend a lot of hours in there. So I've had no problem with it. I've heard other people have, but I've been able to get it in.
I just think it's so interesting. And looking back, I think, you know, you're such a competitive person, but I think you're a lot of competitive people, they're their own worst critic, aren't they?
Definitely. I mean, you know, for part of it, you know, you're kind of a perfectionist. You want everything to be perfect. Now in the day, nobody is perfect, and you're going to make mistakes, but at least strive to be as close to perfect as you can be.
The Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, I am assuming you watched it. I want to know what you thought and if you saw yourself in him talking about how demanding of himself and teammates he is.
Definitely. I think I've watched it over 3-4 times now. So definitely is. I loved The Last Dance, and definitely see some similarities. Now, I'm not Michael Jordan, and obviously he's the greatest. But the way he approaches the game and how hard he goes is definitely some similarities there. And for me, you know, I'm just striving to be the best Peyton I can be.
It's interesting because, you know, I tweeted out early in this interview, you know, your quote about not looking at the mock drafts, and something jumped out at me, like immediately Jaden Grant at Oregon State, a former teammate of yourself at West Lynn, immediately retweeted it and liked it. You guys have all scattered. Are you staying in touch with your old high school teammates? And it's got to be special to see, you know, his dad played in the NBA. Everybody knows it. Now he's off playing football. You're headed to the NBA. It's like you guys are all growing up.
For sure. And we definitely stay in touch. Shout out to Jaden. Just had another touchdown against Washington. So I stay in touch with him. I mean, all those guys I went to high school with is like brothers to me, and they're all being successful. I mean, two of them are already playing overseas for basketball. One is in the major leagues for baseball, and obviously Jaden's playing football and stuff. So unbelievable class, and we're all like brothers.
All right, so the draft tomorrow, you'll be at your parents' house. Small gathering, will there be a camera in the room? Are you just going to try to make it as low-key, Peyton Pritchard low-key as possible, or what are you going to do?
I think we have to. I mean, it's the rules, so it's definitely got to be low-key, I guess. And I mean, I'll enjoy it regardless. It's a special moment, so I'll be with my family and sitting here and figuring out where I'm going to go.
Do you sleep well night before game, and will you sleep well the night before the draft?
I sleep really well the night before game because I know going into the next day I can control the outcome. Tonight I think I'll sleep well, but it is a little bit more nerve-wracking because the other day I have no control. control over what happens tomorrow. Which in a day, it is what it is, and I can control what happens after that. So that's kind of my work. And tomorrow's just ready to see where I'm going to end up.
Help the parents who are listening to this interview, or maybe kids that are aspiring to be college Division I basketball players. You know, I hear a lot of people nervous about getting seen by coaches. I hear other people who say, if you're a good player, they will find you. What advice do you have for kids that are maybe 13 years old, 14 years old, who want to be Peyton Pritchard someday?
Well, you better get your butt in the gym, start grinding, because it's going to take a lot of work. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's about the work you put in and you know, growing as a player. At the end of the day, college teams will find you if you're good enough to play at that level. So it's just figuring out, you know, the steps to becoming that.
I love it. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you joining us. And I think a lot of people will be rooting for you wherever you land. I wish you the best, Peyton. It's been fun to have you on. I remember a high school kid, you called us between classes from Westland campus.
I remember that day. That's crazy.
you were a little bit more shy then, but you still had, for a high school kid, not bad.
Definitely. Not bad. It was a little different then, but I hope that I've gotten better at my interview skills now.
Home run improvement. Hey, listen, wherever you land, we'll touch base with you maybe after you get settled in and ask you what it's like to actually have a uniform on, but I appreciate you making time for us.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
All right. Peyton Pritchard from West Lynn High School to the University of Oregon, headed to the NBA tomorrow. He will be drafted. I love that advice. You better get your butt in the gym and start grinding. You heard him. Leave it here. Don't know about you, but I definitely got the sense that Peyton Pritchard knows where he's going in this draft. Definitely got the sense that he has a strong feel for where he's going in the draft. I don't want to get too far out on my skis here, but the final mock draft of one of those entities that Pritchard says that doesn't know what they're talking about has him going in the first round of the Knicks. But that same mock draft has 8 Pac-12 players in round 1, which is way too many players to go there. There are some comparisons that have been drawn to Steve Nash coming out of Santa Clara in 96. Nice player, mid to late first round projection. Nash was the 15th pick that year. I think that's a little too high for Peyton Pritchard, but would not be surprised to see him go at the end of the first round into the early second round. I also think there's a chance that Peyton Pritchard, just a hunch from me, do we have an idea of where the Indiana Pacers are picking in this draft? I have to look at the draft order. I would not be surprised if the Pacers like him, in part because Chad Buchanan, who is with the Pacers as an assistant GM, I think is a big fan of Peyton Pritchard's. I'll take your phone calls on the draft, on Peyton Pritchard, on the Blazers trade. Let's talk a little bit of NBA in this segment. Dre is in Portland. The phone number is 503-417-7575. Dre, go ahead. You heard the interview.
Jay, I love that kid, man. I got to say, I played a little ball. I got to say, he reminds me of the kid that you've seen him, you've watched tape on him, and you're like, I'm going to kill this kid when we play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you get in the game, and you realize you need to work on your game because he's a real, true point guard. Like, for real, he reminds me of that kid. That young man, I keep calling him kid, he reminds me of that type of guy. Like, his game, he's not a project. You know what I mean? He's not going to come in and you got to work on, is he a 1 or a 2 or what is he? He has all this. He's a point guard. He knows how to play. I see him having a long NBA career, man. Love that kid. Love what he's doing. And it was a pleasure to watch him at West Lynn, like you said, man, to see the growth. I didn't see it at West Lynn. I started to see it towards the end of his Oregon career. Now I'm like, I believe in that kid. He's played against all the top point guards in college, and look what he's done. That kid is legit. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think he's going to make somebody look smart. And I also think, you know, when you look at the NBA draft in the last few years, there is a real discrimination that happens in the draft with upperclassmen who play 3 or 4 years in college. And maybe it's understandable that NBA general managers, especially those picking with a first-round pick, are taking a high speculation, they're taking a speculative pick in the draft, and they tend to look at a player who is 21 or 22 and go, okay, I know who that guy is. I know that I know what he's going to be, but let me take a look at the 20-year-old and they, you know, they take the bigger upside. Peyton Pritchard's 22 years old. Peyton Pritchard will turn 23 years old in January. So there are probably some NBA teams that will look at him and say, well, look, he doesn't have as much upside. They have not been paying attention, if that's their rationale. I'm not saying this kid's a lottery pick, but he would scare me right now if, for example, a team like the Lakers took Peyton Pritchard. That would scare me in the Western Conference, because all of a sudden now the Lakers get a player, I think, who has tremendous upside, who is a really good ball handler, who can shoot but doesn't need to shoot. And on that team, I think Peyton Pritchard as an addition would be an interesting addition. I'm not saying he's going to be Steve Nash, but I'm not going to be surprised if Peyton Pritchard plays 10 years in the NBA and plays at a level where he's got some seasons where he averages in double figures. That's not going to surprise me at all. He's a competitor. I think you're going to bring him in. And I think if there's a veteran point guard in front of him, it better be a veteran point guard who can be okay with a young player pushing him a little bit. Comfort is not his thing. He's not there to make everybody comfortable. I think he's there to be the best player he can be. I think he's going to have a nice career. I think, you know, if you're an NBA team, Peyton Pritchard is a pick that I think has got more upside maybe than we're seeing in some of the mock drafts. And I agree with Peyton Pritchard that I look at the mock draft people and I kind of treat them like the people who give away the stars in the college football recruiting world. Probably worse. Who are they talking to? And by the way, I talked to a lot of GMs and assistant GMs who will tell me, like a year ago, I was asking about Peyton Pritchard, and I had two NBA teams tell me, you know, I think he's an NBA player, but he's not a draft pick. Then I had one NBA, scout who went to Oregon's practice this last season, drove home and left me a voicemail on their way back to PDX from Eugene, getting ready to fly out, and left me a voicemail saying, I went there to see all these other players that Dana Altman recruited just to get a look at them in practice and see who they are. And he said, I left thinking about Peyton Pritchard. I think it's interesting. And I think there are high school coaches in the state of Oregon who are going to be like, yeah, this guy's going to succeed anywhere he goes. I don't think it's one of those cute little provincial stories where everybody kind of roots for the local guy just because he's the local guy. I think Peyton Pritchard is an assassin. And I think on the NBA level, I would expect him to do the same stuff he did in college, the same stuff he did in high school, the same stuff he did when he was in third grade playing youth basketball. Gary's in Camas. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call. And you're exactly right. I've known Peyton for 17 years. His mom and dad, Terry and Melissa, are very, very good friends with me. And I work with Melissa, and Terry Pritchard has raised that kid to be, just like you said, an assassin. And there's nothing, and I mean nothing's going to take the place of hard work. I will certainly say and agree with you, and I'm sorry I missed your interview, but I'll get on the podcast. But me and my twin brother and Terry used to, never let Peyton win on anything, and he always found a way to win. And this guy's a grinder, and he's a hard worker, and there's no substitute for that. And, in fact, his daughter, his sister Lexi and my daughter Madison played together. They grew up together, and they play college basketball together. I mean, not together, but in California. And so I'm here to tell you that if you miss on him, it's going to be a hard, hard habit to not swallow, because Peyton is going to be, he's going to rise, and he'll do, he always has, rise into what needs to be done, and he's going to be the first one in, the last one to leave, and you're so right on his, on your judgment about him, because there's no quit in that kid. He's always, even at 6'2", plays bigger than he is.
Appreciate the phone call. I looked up the Pacers a little bit ago. Pacers traded their first-round pick. They are picking late in the second, so they'd have to move up, I think, a little bit to get Pritchard. A team that comes to mind, and I think a lot of people out there are thinking about, is a team that needs a ball handler. All right, Peter Sampson, you're our NBA guy. Who needs a ball handler in the Western Conference more than Golden State? But the problem I have is where Golden State's drafting. You know, they're picking high in the first round. He's not going to go, you know, where the Golden State's pick is. It's possible the Warriors, who gave up their second-round pick, could buy a second-round pick. You know, they're picking 48th in the second. They'd have to move up. Because I see Peyton Pritchard going somewhere between 20 and 40 in this draft.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, if he's there at that point, someone's gonna buy in to grab him. I actually liked Sacramento at 43 until the trade with Milwaukee yesterday that involved that pick. I'm looking at pick 29 here. Depending on what happens in free agency, the Raptors might have a need. Fred VanVleet's gonna get paid. And look, if there's an organization that has developed a sort of a, I don't want to say low touted, but a working man point guard and developed him into stardom, it's the Toronto Raptors. They would be a perfect fit for each other.
Warriors, Oklahoma City. Is Oklahoma City now in the market? They were loaded in the backcourt. Are they now in the market for a point guard at 25?
You know, with Chris Paul going, they're turning the reins over to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah. He's a breakout star, but that doesn't mean that they don't need 15 minutes off the bench. They let Dennis Schroeder go, so they need someone in that spot.
It's interesting to me because he said he was, I think he knows where he's going. I think without, you know, I don't want to put him on the spot, but I think he knows where he's going. It was interesting to me that he said that he's getting on a plane. So I think we know it's not Portland. I think we know that even with Portland's backcourt, the Blazers are not going to, you know, buy a pick in the second round and suddenly, you know, draft Peyton Pritchard. They are picking at 46. I think there's a real strong chance that he goes at the end of the first round. I just keep looking at the teams. The New York Knicks are at 27. The Lakers are at 28. Toronto's at 29. I think there's a real good shot that he goes in there, and if not, into the second round. I know that one of the teams I talked to, a Western Conference team, said we don't have a need for him because our backcourt is set, but they felt like a possibility for him would be somebody like Charlotte at the beginning of the second round. But I don't know. I don't think it matters. I think he's the kind of player where I think where he lands, Peyton Pritchard thrives. And I think that's kind of been the thing. And I love what he said too about, you know, he's in control of the outcome of a game. Cause see, I think there are a lot of people that play games that don't feel like they're in control of the outcome of the game. But he's a little unsettled, I think, with where am I going to get? I'm getting on a plane, but I don't know where. And I think it's a real new position for him.
John,
excited for him.
Can I tell you what I'm rooting for as a sneaky narrative for Pritchard?
Sure.
It's that team that's got four picks.
Boston.
Danny Ainge, bring an Oregon guy into Boston.
They have the 30th. They have the 26th. They are also picking in, they got the 14th pick. As well, I think I think he'll be in there. I think they'll start talking about Peyton Pritchard somewhere around the 20th pick of the draft. You know, they start putting guys up there, best player available. I think that's when they'll start talking about him. Would not be surprised to see him be a first round pick towards the end of the first round. All right, leave it here. You got the bald faced truth statewide.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald faced.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.